The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
So I ask you to turn again to Luke chapter 2 this morning. And Luke shares with us more details about the birth of Christ than any of the other gospel writers. He shares the story that we really know. And so beginning with verse 1, I read that story again this morning. Some of the verses we've already seen and heard this morning as a part of the musical, but we emphasize them again. Luke 2, 1 said, "Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be made in all of the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and everyone was on their way to register for the census, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in..." King James said, "swaddling clothes," clothes in which you just hold him together and wrap him up in the clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping their watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were terribly frightened. The angel said to them, "Fear not. Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news, glad tidings, good news of great joy, which will be to all the peoples. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign unto you. You will find a babe wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest on earth, peace among men with whom he's pleased. And when the angels had gone away from them into the heavens, the shepherds began saying one to another, Let's go straight into Bethlehem then and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and to Joseph and to the babe as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which they were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, and she pondered them in her heart. And the angels went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told unto them." Father, we do thank you this morning for the opportunity of worship. We're grateful for the hard work that's gone into preparation for the musical we've already seen, for the worship experience, for the presence of your Spirit that we're here, for the reminder of the joy that this season should bring unto us and to our lives. And Father, we pray that now as we simply look at a portion of your word and reminded of the great truths about this time of the year, that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts and draw us to yourself and to the place of commitment to you, who are not only our Savior but our Lord, and that we'd be obedient to you in all things. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Well, the elections are over. We've made it through Thanksgiving and through Black Friday. And Christmas is here. Okay, the parties, the lights, the sweets. We've had two Christmas parties this week and all the sweets. I lost 7 pounds and I gained 4. I got on the scale this morning. I gained 4 of them back in 2 days. You know, from all the food and everything that are there. And people today are following their traditions that so many times we follow those traditions that we've developed through the years until we miss sometimes the real truth of Christmas. But God came into the world to become one of us. And his purpose was that we could be saved and that we could have a relationship with him. He is our hope. And the biggest thing that ever happened in our world, the greatest event in all of history, you look back over everything that's ever taken place, the greatest thing that ever happened was when God became human flesh and dwelt among us. Now, if we'd had our way, we'd have planned it different. There wasn't much of a party or anything else going on when God sent his son into the world. In fact, God made a little of it. But if we'd have done it, we'd have done it differently, I think. Hollywood would have glamorized it, turned it into all kinds of things, and had all the celebrities they could find there. The civilized in our world would have sanitized it. I mean, can you imagine? God would never have been born and laid in a cow trough, a feeding trough, you know, with hay on the floor, and you place a baby in a trough, you know, where a donkey's nose had been there. Surely we wouldn't put God in that place. And they all smell like sheep, and when you walk around, you had to watch where you step. The good public relations firm would have moved it to the big city, would have probably treated it like a royalty and lots of pizzazz and room full of world leaders to recognize that God had come into the world. But you see, we didn't plan it. God did. Max Licato, and most of you know him at his books and whatever, Fox News had an article that he printed about skipping Christmas, and this was part of his article. Mostly I'm quoting from him. It says, God made little of his son's coming into the world. Maybe God chose to do it that way because he knew that our lives would often be like the Bethlehem stable. Crude spots, smelly, not much glamour, not always neat. And the people around us often remind us of the stable animals. Now, these are his words, not mine, okay? Grazing like sheep, stubborn like donkeys, cow chewing their cuds in the corner looks a lot like the fellow next door. But the moment that Mary touched God's face is the moment God made his case. There was no place that he would not go. If he was willing to be born in a barnyard, then we could expect him at work anywhere. In the bars, in the bedrooms, in the boardrooms, in the brothels. No place is too common. No person is too hardened. There is no person that he cannot reach, and there is no limit to his love. When Christ was born, so was our hope. Folks, God became one of us so that we could be one with him. Every Christmas, I know for the last 40 years, I have shared this same message. I know I didn't have all my notes together this morning or this week, but I know I shared these same truths. The 3 years that I've been here, this is the third year of Christmas. But taken from this passage of Scripture here in Luke, there are several things we learn about the Christmas season. And several messages God has for us that are true today as it was in the days when Jesus was born. The message of the gospel is good news. That's what basically the root word is. It's good news. God has sent his son into the world. That's good news. The angels came to proclaim glad tidings because ultimately it means this good news has been come. It's good news because, number one, it banishes fear. The first thing the angel said there in verse 10 was, fear not. Did an internet search on that word fear not in the King James Bible, and it came up 430 times those words are used in the Scripture. But I think about it just around the Christmas season. The angel spoke to Mary and says, fear not. She didn't know what was going to happen. They came to Joseph and said, fear not. You know, just obey God and do what he says. He appeared to the shepherds and says, fear not. I think to those lonely shepherds out in the field, separated and outcast from society, saying to them, you're important enough. I'm going to let you know about this first. Jesus has been born in the stable. So he says, fear not. We live in a day that's marked by fear. Many people won't come out at night because they're afraid. Fear grips our society. Certain areas in which people won't travel because of fear, the personal fear that, you know, we don't get involved in fighting their crimes because, you know, we're afraid of what's going to happen. been told by police, do not go over there. There's drugs at that house, and we're watching it and all that kind of stuff. If you go over there, you put yourself in danger. And yet, I wasn't going to let them do it across the street from my kids. But sometimes we're so afraid. We don't attempt great things for God because we're afraid. We're afraid somehow God's going to let us down. We're going to be afraid there's not going to be resources. We're going to be afraid we can't do it. We don't witness because we're afraid somebody might reject the message and slam the door in our face, or because we're afraid. Folks, it's sad that we live in a day when God says to us, fear not. I'm in control. I know what's going on. I know what's happening. I know everything going on in your life. I know all the things that are there. I look around at the pagan religions of the world, and most of them are based on fear. They're afraid of their God. If they sin or they do something wrong, then God's going to somehow punish them for our sin. But we have a God who, in contrast, says that I loved you enough, even though you sinned against me, I sent my son Jesus in the world to die for you. If you'll come to me, I'll forgive you, and I'll cleanse you, and I'll make you a part of my family. So fear not, folks. I'll tell you something. We have no reason to fear as God's people, because we are secure in our relationship with God. Fear not. It banishes fear. The good news is also good news of joy. It brings joy into our lives. You know, there are many, for many people, this honestly is the saddest parts of the year. Suicide rates go up 20%. Psychiatrists are busy right after Christmas and any other time of the year. Depression grips our world. And we say, why does all that happen? I think it's because we spend so much time with the glamour and the gift and all those other things, seeking for some kind of satisfaction and fulfillment into our hearts and our lives. But deep down inside, we have no abiding joy that keeps us and sustains us. And, you know, there's a lack of joy because we're not secure in our relationship with Christ. But Jesus came into the world, and he came into the world to bring us joy. You know, joy that delivers us from the guilt of sin and the consequences of that sin. He came to give us security in our relationship with Christ. Folks, that's joy in itself. The joy of the hope for the future, to know that no matter what happens, one day we're going to go where God has prepared a place for us that is beyond imagination. The message of Christmas is indeed good news because it's a message of joy. But it's also a message for all peoples. He said in verse 10, which shall be to all people. The message is not for the select few. None are left out, and all are important. It's not just for the Jews, not just for the Gentiles. In our world today, it's not just for the black or just for the white or the red or the yellow. Folks, it's for everybody. For every person who is ever born. Jesus said to whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. No sin too great. There's nothing we can do to keep God from loving you. The message of Christmas is good news because it's for all people. But not only is it all people, but we need to bring it home. See, it's easy sometimes for us to look around at the crowd and say, God loves the world. But let me tell you something, it's also for you. The angel spoke to the shepherds and said, Christ is born for all the people, but I want you to know. And the Greek word for you is singular in that point. He's talking to the shepherds on a personal note. And he basically said to you personally, individually, I want you to know something. It is for you as well as an individual person. You look at the life of Jesus. Jesus was also concerned about the individual. He met with Nicodemus in the middle of the night, shared some of the greatest passages that we have, you know, in all of the world with one man, Nicodemus, in the middle of the night. For God so loved the world, he told him, that God gave his only son. He said, I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He talked to the woman at the well who had lived a life of sin, had five husbands. She no longer had those husbands, but she was living in a relationship with another man. And Jesus loved her and forgave her and said, if you'll take of the water that I'll give, you'll have everlasting water and forgiveness. He spoke to Zacchaeus, and he's walking around the crowds, and people were following him, trying to see him, and he saw a little man up a tree, and he stopped and said, Zacchaeus, come down, because today I'm going to your house. And when he left there, he proclaimed that the Son of Man's come to seek and to save those which are lost. It was an individual salvation. And today, the message of Christmas is for you personally. If you'll come to Christ, you will come to Christ. You can find the joy that he came to give. And then there's a message of salvation. Now, folks, if we miss this, we miss it all. For Jesus came into the world to save. He said, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. That's why he came. It's the heart of the message. The Christmas is good news because of how Jesus came into the world to save the lost. He's our deliverer, our redeemer, our Savior. That was the purpose of his coming. And as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God. But then it also is a message of good news because it brings glory to God. After they had spoken to the shepherds, then suddenly he had disappeared. Then he was joined in heaven by a multitude of heavenly hosts, it said. And they were saying, glory to God in the highest. The coming of Jesus into the world brought glory to God. You see, God is glorified when he is seen, when he is beheld. You know, the greatest example of the of seeing and understanding and knowing who God is when you see what he did for us in his son Jesus Christ when he sent him into the world. Michael read that verse while it goes a part of the musical in 1 John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:18 says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has revealed him or declared him to us. Folks, when we understand who Jesus is and why he came into the world, we see the heart of God. We see what our God is like, and he is glorified because of that. And then it's good news because it brings peace. What man needs in our world today is peace. Right now, we live in a world that's filled with wars. People are fighting. And I think probably until the day Jesus returns, the honest truth is those wars are going to be happening in our world. But we live in a day today where we have no personal peace. And it doesn't have to be that way. See, we live in a world today dominated by nerve pills, emotional, mental illness, grip our society. We're constantly striving and getting nowhere. Like Solomon wrote, you know, we're just chasing the wind and not really accomplishing anything or going anywhere. We're searching and not finding. There's an emptiness and loneliness in so many people's lives. Folks, I'll tell you what we need more than anything else. We need the peace that comes from God. See, peace not only that gives us a relationship with God, but when we confess our sins and repent and turn from that sin and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then we have peace with God. We're no longer separated from him. Now we're brought together to have a relationship. We can live with him. Peace with God. But then once we have peace with God, we begin to live a life of obedience. And when we trust him for our daily lives and obey him and what he tells us to do, then we have the peace of God. A peace which Paul wrote to the Philippians will pass all understanding. God will set up a garrison around our hearts and will guard us and protect us and will give us peace. There are so many people in our world today who doesn't have peace. We're struggling and unhappy because we're not being obedient to God. We're not living according to what God says. We think we have a better way. Somehow we let our feelings control how we live and what we do, when in reality, God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what we need better than anything else. And when he tells us how to live and what to do with our lives, folks, real peace with God comes when we act in obedience to him and do what God tells us to do. And that's always better than anything else we can come up with or any excuse that we can find for not living for God. He will give us the peace, his peace. Jesus told the disciples in the other room, he said, my peace I give to you, not the peace of the world, but my peace. Folks, I'm telling you, the gospel is good news because God will give us peace. The King James says peace towards God and goodwill towards men, but better translation of that is probably this, that he gives peace among men with whom he's pleased. When we are obedient and we please God by obeying him, then we have peace, the peace that only God can give. So, but there's one other truth we don't need to miss, and that's in verse 11. He said, not only is there born for you a Savior, but understand who this Savior is. He is Christ the Lord. The Lord. Folks, the babe of Christmas is not only our Savior who went to the cross and died, but he's also the Lord, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. God who came in human flesh, but then who rose and today is a living, resurrected Savior, who because he is Lord, has a right to rule our lives, to tell us how to live, to what to do. And real peace for us comes when we're obedient to his Lordship. And that's our message today. That's the message of Christ, Christmas, I believe. That we can come to Christ and experience salvation. We can come to Christ and live for him in obedience, and we will experience the peace that only he can give, which passes all comprehension and understanding. And our lives will be full. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. Will you obey him this morning? As he speaks to your heart, will you do what God asks you to do? It'll be glory to God, but it'll bring peace and salvation to you. Father, we thank you today for you coming into the world and dying for us. We're thankful that you also are here to live for us. And we pray that your Holy Spirit now will draw us to yourself, that we'll be obedient to what you ask of us this day. In Jesus' name.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.